Okay, we'll give you a chance to see who's going to ask the first question tonight. We've got a whole lot of questions that we haven't answered. Some of them we have. Still got a whole list of them over here. I want to get around to answering all those questions because people write in from radio and different things and they want to know, they want to understand. Has anybody got a question they'd like to ask? All right, if everybody's okay, Mike? Can you talk a little louder? All right, let's go to the book of Mark, Matthew's Mark, I believe it's the 11th chapter. Now, if you'll notice here, they passed the fig tree. You're familiar with this, we preached on it, how that they had went off from the city and then was returning, and Jesus wanted figs, and there wasn't any figs because it was out of season. So then he cursed the fig tree. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Let's read right here so we can get it all straight in our minds. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And you might take notice there, all these people speak of not teaching doctrine. It's strangely enough, he taught doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree which withered away. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, see, he is saying here that if you do not forgive, then this will hinder your faith. See, you can't carry anything in your heart if you regard iniquity in your heart. The Bible said, then God will not hear you. So then you've got to clear your heart, because it is with the heart that man believeth. And you cannot have faith without the heart. There's no way to have faith without the heart. The Bible said, as a man thinketh within his heart, that's the kind of man he is, or so is he. So then, no matter what you do, you must try to keep your heart. The Bible said, do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. I say again, like a daily issue of a newspaper, out of the heart comes forth that daily issue that declares as to what your life is going to be every day. So then you want to be sure that you don't let anything stand in the way between you and God. Paul said, I strive always to keep a conscience void of offense toward man and God. He never would let anything be in his heart toward any person or toward God. See, never feel bad toward God. So if you regard iniquity, God won't hear you. So he tells us the secret here. John goes on to say that if we do the things that please God, hereby we assure our hearts before God, and we know that God hears us. John said it's not a matter of receiving what we want as to whether we think God will give it to us or whether or not God will give it to us or whether or not we're good enough to receive it. He didn't say anything about that. He just simply said, but hereby we assure our hearts. And he said, now when we do this, then do we have confidence toward God that he heareth us. And of course, confidence is faith. Confidence toward God that he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. So when you pray, what do you pray for? To make God hear you. When you fast, what do you fast for? To make God hear you. When you live an overcoming life, what do you do that for? To make God hear you. The Lord said concerning some of them in the Old Testament, he said that you do not fast this day as you have in the past. Or he said, when you fast, will you then fast to smite with the fist of wickedness? Or just to do evil? Just to have a big program, as we would say in our day, to have fame and popularity, have somebody to make a fuss over you, to be able to take a big offering, to build some great enterprise? He said, fast to make your voice to be heard on high. Fast to get in shape with God. Fast to humble your heart. David said, I humble my soul in prayer and in fasting. Fast so you can humble yourself to where your heart will begin to take on confidence toward God that he hears you when you pray. And then if he hears you, because of the appropriation of those things that are given to us in Christ, in Calvary, the Bible said that we just automatically know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. If we know that he hears us. Jesus' secret was this. He said, Lazarus, come forth. But before he said that, he said, Father, I know that thou hearest me, and thou hearest me always. But for the sake of them that are looking around, I acknowledge that there is an eternal Father somewhere, that they might not look to the flesh. For their sakes I have said it. So then when we say faith in God, I remember when Jimmy was sick, Brother Smith was sick. I was down in the basement and I was talking, and Jim had been blood just flowing. I mean, it was flowing. I'd seen something happen to him, you know. I'd heard that he was in bad shape, but I hadn't been there and seen it. But he was working one day up the plane, and they're on the plane at the airfield, and all of a sudden he started, and it just flowed, just like you turned a hydrant on. I mean, a full flow from his mouth of blood. And he couldn't have lasted but a few minutes. And one day, we was down in the basement, and I was talking, and I thought, Lord, now here's a good time to reach Brother Jim Smith. He's listening. I saw his heart was open. And I began to talk, and I began to talk about faith. And I went around a certain way and brought a few things in to where I could clinch a thing in his thoughts and cut off every avenue of doubt. And when I did, it struck Jimmy just like that. Isn't that right, Brother Jim? I felt it when it hit him. I said, oh, my God, you've healed him. Right there. Jimmy grabbed that thing just like a big fish grabbed a hook. And I mean, he never turned loose of it. And he boastfully, through Christ, walked back up to the doctor's office that said, if you don't come back here, you won't be alive at certain time after the certain time. He went back and told him he was much alive. So I said that to say this. The question is, does faith have a time limit? No. It very definitely does not. Listen to what Jesus says. See, Jesus says here, have faith in God. When they marveled concerning the fig tree, he said, have faith in God. Now, I took a little roundabout thought there to kind of help you to understand how to have faith in God. See, if you don't work with God's system, if you don't work with God's word, see, faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. You hear the word, and that's what brings faith. See, so I said those things to try to systemize your mind is to have faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. And we know that God was the Word, or God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. God is the Word. The same to 1,000 generations, he never changes. His Word's never changed at any time. His Word is never altered at any time. It is settled in heaven. It is settled in heaven. And I want you to think on this. Paul, our apostle, he made this statement. He said, when I come to you preaching the Word of God, I never came to you preaching yea and nay. I never come preaching yea and nay. The Bible said, let your conversation be yea and nay, for what cometh up more than this is evil. But that is, if somebody asks you something, just say no. Yes. You know, just have that kind of attitude. Don't go to try to stretching it out and explain whatever. You always get in trouble. Don't lean to your own understanding. Answered by the word of God. See, but Paul, when he speaks of the word of God, it's not yea and nay. He said, I didn't come to you preaching yea and nay concerning the word of God. He said, I come to you preaching yea. Yea. For all the promises of God are yea and amen. Yea. If Jesus said it, yea, amen. If that's the way it is in the Bible, yea and amen. Whatever the word of God says, yea and amen. If Jesus said, be baptized for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus, yea and amen. You know, speaking of the name of Jesus, just kind of running off on a limb here for a minute. Speaking of the name of Jesus, I was talking about remission of sin in the name of Jesus the other night. I'm always talking about the name of Jesus because it's important that we magnify the name of Jesus and lift up the name of Jesus, because the Bible said that he should have the preeminence in all things. A lot of people kind of feels like Peter went out on a limb when he made the statement, be baptized in the name of Jesus. You know that remission of sin shall be taught in his name. But if you'll go back and check the record, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus himself spoke of himself. And he said this to his disciples, said in remission of sin will be taught. He didn't say in my name, says in his name. This is the way he put it. Remission of sin beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. All right. I just run off on that because I wanted to say this. There is no need of you trying to bring anything to pass or to get anything done or to hope for anything from God unless you approach him in the name of Jesus. You can say Father in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all day long till you turn blue in the face. You'll never get one thing. There are people that pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the way they pray, by using the titles and not the name. The other day while we were over in Alaska, just a few days back, the full gospel businessman, president of the chapter, he got up and began to pray and asked God to give him certain things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the way he prayed. You understand what I'm saying? That prayer didn't even go to the ceiling. It didn't even get to the ceiling. I sat there and listened. And I thought, what ignorance. Pardon my expression. I'm countrified. I thought, what ignorance. Fine man. But to hold his own, he had to say that. See, the name of Jesus is the name of the Holy Ghost. I've said that. That is the name of the Father. That is the name. There is no other name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost except the name Jesus Christ. So when you ask anything, ask in the name of Jesus. Ask nothing wavering. The Bible said he that wavers is like a ship on the sea. If he be double-minded, that is in the mind of Christ to the mind of the Bible one minute and in his own reasoning as to the next minute, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. He's not going to get anything of God. He's unstable in all of his ways. But when you ask, then ask in faith, nothing wavering. Ask in the name of Jesus. He said, have faith in God. Now this is Jesus talking. Have faith in God. Could you imagine Jesus standing here telling you to have faith in God? You know when where the Bible speaks, it says, not be the minister speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within him. And they shall be all taught of God. Supposing it was God that was here telling you this. And Jesus stood there and said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, don't make any difference, black, white, red, yellow, whosoever, man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't make any difference. For verily I say unto you, God is talking, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Somebody said, well, I never seen anybody move a mountain, Brother Pike. Well, there have been a lot of things moved heavier than a mountain. But I have to confess, I've never seen anybody move a mountain either. But it's still there. That's what it said. Been there all the time. Still means what it says. Still there for the man that wants to attempt it. I have heard of this. I heard of a mountain being removed. Man had a mountain out in front of his house or wherever it was, and he prayed and prayed and asked God to move it. And God moved it. They sent bulldozers and finally cut it all the way down because they needed the soil. So he did get the mountain moved. He might have went about it a little different way, but he got it moved. All right. He said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, we're back to the heart program, shall not doubt in his heart. You know, the Bible speaks of the heart many times. Medical science says the heart is the soundness of the body. The scripture says that a sound heart is the health of the body. So he says here, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what can you say to that? Yea and amen. Yea and amen. Ain't no nay about it. It's yea. See, yea and amen, the word settled in heaven. It can't be altered. It can't be changed. That passage of scripture has never been altered, has never been changed. It will never be altered. It will never be changed. And someone would say, well, why in the name of reasoning don't it work? It does work. You just don't know how to use it. It simply states here that if ye believe that those things which you say will happen, then it will come to pass. How many of you today can walk up to a mountain and say, get out of the way, and believe it's going to move? Raise your hand. That's why Jesus looked at the folks and said, oh, ye of little faith. We love to blame it on him, don't we? We love to blame it on the scriptures. You know, we're so brilliant in the day we're living in. We're such great people, so religious. My, we just got all kind of things, you know. Everything from television programs to tents. But it says here, if you believe, it's like when I prayed for the release of the prisoners, I prayed for their release. People come against that. People say it can't happen. Jimmy Carter, with all of his brilliance, couldn't get them loose. He only complicated things. But I prayed earnestly. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I went and told the brethren, I said, God said he's going to release them prisoners, and every one of them is going to come home well. Well, they hit me, some of them, hit me for that. But nevertheless, I believe that. And it happened. And when the massacre of the little children, little folks was, you know, in Atlanta, it was such a horrible situation, and it went on for days, and my heart got heavy. It went on for weeks, months. I don't know how long it went on. I guess it was a number of months. And my heart was heavy, so one night I went to God, and I said, Lord, I am so tore up over them little children. I said, this man is mocking the police, and they can't do nothing about it. And I prayed, and I prayed. And I stayed in there in my living room, and I prayed until I got satisfied. And when I got satisfied, I said, God, you got him now. And I went out and told the brethren. Well, consequently, after I told the brethren, they didn't get him. Two or three days passed and they didn't get him. So I went back and prayed again. And God assured me, I didn't have to worry, that he was going to do exactly what he showed me. And in a few days, they apprehended him. They had it. See, I've done that in asking for automobiles. I've done that in asking for things. I've done that in asking God to help us. I still do that because I practice faith. So, like I said, if you can't move a mountain, work on a hill. Whatever you can do, do it. Work on something till you can get to something bigger. If you can't get cancer moved, then work on a headache. Don't give up your faith. Don't cast away your faith. Don't say that I don't have any faith. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. It's like Abraham. The Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So then, it says concerning Abraham that he was fully persuaded. That's where we fail. He was strong in faith, and the Bible teaches that we are to strengthen that which remains, to be strong in faith. That's what God wants us to do. He was fully persuaded. He didn't have any other thoughts about it. He was fully persuaded that what God had said, just like we read it to you, that he was able also to perform. See, that's the first hurdle that we have to get over. Let's be fully persuaded that God said it. He's not going to alter it. He doesn't have to change it. He is well able to perform it. See, one of the things that Jesus would ask, like when the lepers came to him, and they said, Lord, heal us. And he looked at some of them, he said, do you believe that I'm able to do that? See, fully persuaded that what God had promised that he was able to do. Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do that? See, that was the first step. Do you believe that God's able to do it? Somebody said, well, I believe that God does those things. You believe that he done it to the prophets. You believe that was the day back there, but I'm talking about right now. In this very day, in this very hour, in this very moment. Do you believe that God is able to do that? That's the first hurdle. Another thing that you have to settle concerning faith is we're always harassed by the devil. He is the accuser of the brothers, sisters, and he accuses the brethren day and night before God. He accuses you in your mind. He accuses you every way you go. He does everything he can to tear your faith down. So if you are a child of God, he'll keep hammering on your mind so that a disease will kill you or eat you up because he doesn't want you around. You know, the world, he won't do them that way. He'll frolic with them. So he's always trying to trample down the mind of humanity as to the children of God. Always, always. This is why we should assure our hearts by living right, by doing everything we can, by eliminating condemnation and coming into the perfect mind of God. See, because he is going to harass your mind and accuse you. That means that you're always going to be wondering if you're good enough. Or, Lord, give me another week and I'll be better. Give me another month and sure enough you turn out worse. So you're always thinking, Lord, a little better, a little later, and I'm going to get better, and then we're going to make the rapture. You know, if you'll just give the church another two or three years, I just know that I'll be ready. But you ain't. You're going to be worse. Things are going to get worse, and you're going to get worse. See, the Bible said, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. God's going to do it by grace. But folks, we got to do our best. Do our best. When we do our best, that's good enough. I don't care how much we stumble. I don't care how much Satan accuses us. We are thus perfect by the blood of Jesus, have been all the time, and we are now eligible for that perfection to our behalf of getting what we want or desire because we have done our best. And that's all he requires. A dad or a mother wouldn't require anything out of a little boy or girl no more than their best. It would be so unfair if Brother Gable required anything out of Frances that she wasn't able to perform. Because she is a little lady. She's a little girl. See, the same way with the little boys here. It would be so unfair to try to require something out of the little ones that they're not able to perform. Isn't it right? We're just God's little ones, that's all. Even to the one caught up to the throne was a baby that ruled with a rod of iron. Still a baby compared to Almighty God and the knowledge of Almighty God. When are we going to catch up with God? When are we going to graduate as to say, well, I finally made it. I know everything you know now. So you can see where we're at. This is one of the great hindrances of faith, is you're always trying to get good enough. But until the day that you accept the word of the Lord Jesus, that he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to be good enough. Like Brother Branham in his day, Brother Branham said the one thing that was lacking in the church, even in his day, was they did not have rapturing faith. And said before the church can go out, it's got to get rapturing faith. And the only way you're going to ever get faith is by the hearing of the word. And the only way you're ever going to have rapturing faith is for God to bring you a message that shows you that your sins are gone. So then, you've got to come to a place to where you believe that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that you are clean and holy and godly, and that he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. The Bible said that God is faithful, that if you confess your sins, John said he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For he said all unrighteousness is sin. So we're going to get pin this down just a little better here in a few minutes and let you go. To believe that he's able to do it, number one. Two, to believe that you are eligible for it because you've been born again, and that God loves you and through Christ Jesus has given you all things that pertain unto life. Exceeding great and mighty promises. That's the first two things. The third thing, you've got to come to the place to where you work with your heart. To learn to assure your heart. To do the things that please God. Don't just flounder around. Don't just stagger. Don't make allowance for this and a little gossip over here and a little television over here and a little movies over here and a little frolic and a little bit of Six Flags and running along down the beaches nude and dressing out and all these other things. Everything that you do, you've got to give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every deed that you do, your spiritual man is going to give an account to God as to what you did while you occupied this little body. So then to assure our hearts, let's do the things that please God. See, salvation is of God. It's of the Lord Jesus. It's through the name of Jesus, by the works of Jesus. But where people are going to miss out is that they don't realize it's a serve yourself thing by doing the things that causes the heart to have confidence toward God, to assure and reassure the heart to where it will believe in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ as to his work toward us or his blessing toward us. All right, so then that's the third thing. You've got to assure your heart. Then if you do that, then you know that he hears you. If you know that he hears you, the Bible said, say what you will. Just as long as you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that what you're saying is going to come to pass, say what you will and it'll happen. Ain't nothing can stop it. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I know that that is absolutely a fact because I've done it over and over and over. I haven't been around telling any mountains to get out of the way. I didn't see none that need to get out of my way. But if it ever comes to that, I believe I'll try it. Say, well, you're crazy anyway. I know folks think I'm eccentric, but if I had a mountain in my way And I felt like you'd ought to be out of my way. Believe you me, I'd go to prayer and I'd pray. I said, now God, I want that thing out of my way. And I'd pray till I could believe it. I might have to stay all night and all night and all night and all night, but I'll stay. I have stayed all night long till I convinced my heart that what I was asking him for, he was going to give it to me. Stay right there. And he always did. Never fails. Always works. All right, so we say here again now, for verily I say unto you, that's whosoever will, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, now leaving the mountain and bringing in everything else, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. See, if you don't want to talk about a mountain, talk about something else. Whatever you say, if you say it and you believe it. Now, why does he say if you say it? Because he is the high priest of our confession. So then we believe with the heart unto righteousness, but confession unto salvation is made with the lips. Now, you can confess Christ and still not have him. You can say, I'm a Christian, it'll come from your heart, but you're lying. Or you can say, I'm a Christian, whatever a man says comes from his heart, it could be true. See, so, you understand what I'm saying? You believe that it's going to come to pass, so you say it. And you don't doubt. Just hold that heart right there. You don't doubt. You say it, and it'll come to pass. Somebody would say, my God, Brother Pike, are you telling me the truth? Is it that simple? It's just exactly that simple. You say, with all these hundreds and millions and billions of people, and they can't get that thing to work, let me tell you, that just shows how wicked man is as a whole. God looked down at the billions, and he said he didn't find one of them right. Come on, folks. Let's give God a hand. He's right. He said he didn't find one of them right. Out of all the billions from the beginning of creation to the consummation of mankind, he never did find one of them. So you can see where the problem is. All right, so when Jesus came, he made us right. From now on, if we want faith to work, we've got to believe in his righteousness. That's the only way to do it. You can do all the fasting you want to, and you can waste your time, and you can pray. Do all you want to, but God isn't going to hear you. It's when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you give glory to his name, and when you fast for one purpose, and that is to make God hear your voice so that you can ask, not amiss as to consume it on your own lust, but to ask for the sake of the lost and the dying and the needy and to do something for God. Somebody said, you didn't spoil the whole thing, Brother Pike. Here I was, I thought I could get what I wanted. See, he ain't interested in nobody else. He said, you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. See, your greed. Now he said, well, does that mean that I still can't get my Cadillac? No, you can have the Cadillac. He'll give it to you. I've had numbers of them. Lincoln's too. But that don't satisfy, that don't pacify, that's not the answer. See, he'll give you all of that. You own it all anyway. I mean, you own the Rolls Royces. If you wanted them, you could get them too. See, no problem. But that ain't the answer. See, I'm saying that when you believe God and you follow God and you seek the kingdom of God first and you're desiring to do what's right, when you ask, it doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter if it's land, houses, cars, it don't matter what you want, God will just give it to you. That's God. Give you thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. He don't care if you have billions. It don't make no difference now. All right, so then this is what I'm saying. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Now we're talking about what you desire. What do you desire? When ye pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, Jesus said, when you pray, believe. Ain't no need to pray if you ain't going to believe. When you pray, when you go to prayer, you believe that whatever you desire, that you're going to have it. Believe that. He said, therefore I say unto you, not the disciples, Jesus, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. That's when he says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught, you know, to clear your heart. So getting back to the original theme of our thought, does faith have a time limit? No. When God said to Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a little one, it had a time limit. It wasn't the faith that had a time limit. God just said, I will return unto Sarah at the time of life. So God set a time as to the coming of the little one. And at that time, Abraham's faith took hold and believed like that. And it came to pass. So see, it's not the time limit on faith. You can set a time limit on faith, but it's not the time limit on faith. It's just whenever you believe, that's when it happens. See, if you're praying for somebody, you're praying for them right then. If you believe for them to be healed right then, they'll be healed right then. If your faith registers with God, you make the proper contact right then is when it happens. See, now you can say the Bible says we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You could put it recovering right now while I pray or recovering out here X amount of days. You can always put it off to the future, never get it to happen. Or you can always be trying to get your faith to be strong enough to get God to answer and never get it to happen. But if you'll strengthen your faith, if you'll do the things that strengthens your faith, all of you have got faith. Someone will say, well, I just don't have any faith. That couldn't be. How could you be a Christian and not have faith? You're saved by faith. How could you be a Christian and not have faith? When you say that you don't have faith, that means that you're not a child of God. You couldn't possibly be a child of God unless you have faith. So see, there's no such thing as saying, I don't have faith. Now the thing is, they said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. Now ain't that what we're talking about? It's moving the mountain. Somebody said, how much faith does it take to move a mountain? I never seen nobody do that. I will never be able to do that. Well, he said, if you've got faith as a grain of mustard seed. How have you confessed to have faith? How have you know how big a mustard seed is? How do you feel like you can move a mountain? I want to ask you to raise your hand on that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you that Satan so easily beguiles. Satan so easily beguiled Eve and took her home away from her, the garden away from her, all of those great things away from her, just with a few words. The Bible said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, or after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, you already have power. How much power do you have? The Bible said, power over all the powers of the devil. How many of you got power over all the powers of the devil? Why do you let him bother you so much? See, power over all the powers of the devil. You believe you got it? You absolutely have it. You say, what kind of power is that? The Holy Ghost. How have you got the Holy Ghost? For when the Holy Ghost comes, he has power over all the powers of the enemy. You understand what I'm saying? That's why Jesus went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness not to fast. He went into the wilderness to defeat the devil. That was the first leg of the war with the devil, to defeat him for you and I. He defeated him. He come back saying, I've got power over all flesh. Because when you get power over your flesh, you got power over all flesh. Because all men's hearts are fashioned alike. So he conquered his flesh. That was the end of the devil. He did that for you and I. He prayed for you and I. He died for you and I. I'm not just, you know, saying something that's kind of a myth, some kind of a wild thing, some kind of a fairy story. I'm telling you the absolute fact. I'm telling you the gospel. I'm telling you of God. He's given you power over all the powers of death. He said over all the powers of the enemy. That includes death. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. I've given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now I know he has to speak that directly to the spiritual man. Somebody said, well, boy, he sure hurts me a lot. But see, God was speaking to your spiritual man that I've sealed your spiritual man to where you keep yourself by faith through this great gift of the Spirit, and the evil one never touches you. How is he going to hurt you if he never touches you? He never touches you, let alone hurt you. See, so you just let him beat on you because you're waiting for the change of the body. So you let him beat on you. And you don't... See, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me." So you don't put him in his place. You don't assure your heart to where you can take the shield of faith to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. You don't do that. That's the problem. It isn't God. It isn't the Word. It isn't the promise. It isn't what God appropriated for you. It's just man. That's man. He's in that Laodicean, lukewarm age. All right, so then I said that to say this in closing, and that is that there is no time limit. If you place a time limit on it, then there's a time limit. If you don't, then there isn't. It's just whenever you believe. Jesus, let me give you one example here. Jesus met a man in the way. He needed healing for his little one. And when he talked to Jesus, Jesus, fear, frustration, all these things seizing the man's heart, Jesus consoled him and said, "Don't be afraid now." He said, "Fear hinders the work of God." He could have said it like that. Fear is an enemy of God. Fear is your believing in reverse. You're going to believe backwards, and you're going to believe the enemy into power instead of believing God into power. So he said, "Fear not, only believe." So he prayed for the man's little one. When he prayed, he went his way. The man went his way. And then somebody come running to him and said, "The little one has been healed." Has been healed. Or that is, your child has been healed. And you know what he did? Quickly. He probably didn't have a watch. But just using that, you know, as an illustration in that you've got a watch. Quickly, he said, "What time did it happen?" Can you imagine him asking that? Well, I'd have probably been jumping up and down and hollering and saying, "Thank God, thank God, thank God." But he didn't do that. He said, "What time did it happen?" He said, certain time. He said, that's exactly when Jesus said he would be whole. Exactly. So you see, there's no time element. So that was exactly the time. All right, let's stand together. That man was determined that God was going to get the glory. He's going to prove whether or not it was the healing from God or something just took a change. Wasn't nobody going to be able to tell him that it just took a change for the better. All right, let's sing a little chorus, can we? Let's sing that little chorus, "I Love Him." So you see, folks, you've got great and mighty promises. All these lovely promises. God wants to use you. Somebody would say, "That great man of God, that great woman of God." And that's true. But you know what makes them a great woman of God or a great man of God? It's because they believe. They believe and great things happen in their life. But they're not a great man of God or a great woman of God because they are a different kind of woman or a different kind of man. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion. Same problem, same harassment of mind as you and I have. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained, didn't rain for several years. And then when he prayed, the heavens gave forth its rain. When the governor wrote the article in the paper and said, "Pray for rain, pray for rain." When they give out a water in Monroe, and they published the picture, even of Monroe Ground, to where it was cracked all to pieces, and things were severe. I wrote the man a letter, "Dear Governor, I'm going to pray, and when I pray, God is going to give you rain, but I'm requesting such and such and such, because God has touched my heart. And when I pray, he's going to give you rain." The governor wrote back a nice letter immediately. Said, "I'm a believer. My wife and I, we always pray. We believe God. We acknowledge the Lord." Where's the Bible that says, "Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he'll direct your path"?
And I prayed, and the heavens gave forth the rain. And it's been raining ever since until just here as of late, there's been something happen. And I know what happened.
But the thing is, he still blessed us. The water tables was way, way down. But we prayed, and the water tables not only came up to normal, but they came way up above to overflow. See, Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you and I. So then, it is not that an individual is great, it is God that is great. And when you become one with God, then that makes you great in the sight of the people, because they're looking for the answer, and Christ is the answer. So I said that to let you know that he wants to use you. He said, just whosoever will, if they say it, don't doubt. When I wrote the governor, I didn't doubt. I didn't pray about it. I didn't doubt. I said it was going to rain. It was going to rain. I remember standing out here one day. We were standing in front of the truck or a car, somebody sitting in the seat of the truck. Tornadoes just striking everywhere. Brother Taylor and I, we'd had the vision about it. Remember coming back, El Paso and whatever. Anyway, I was standing there, and he said, there's another tornado coming. And our people were so weary. Everybody was weary. Dad and Mom was weary. Tornadoes were striking all over the nation, everywhere, according to the vision I'd seen. Looked like the heavens had gone crazy. And I was standing in front of it, of the truck, and I was listening. Somebody was listening to the radio, and I was listening outside. And it said a tornado is moving from Winder down the highway toward Monroe. We done had tornadoes here that killed people, dismantled houses, tore up things. And I heard it. And I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I command that tornado to turn and go another direction. And all of a sudden the radio said, it's turning, said it's going in another direction. I believe that he would do it. Somebody said, well, that's coincidental. Well, praise God for the coincidence. It turned and went another way. So when you pray, just believe in those coincidences so that you can be protected. I believe it was the divine providence of God. I remember when the flood hit, I said, Betty, must get out of Ohio. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't flood this valley. I said, the way these people have done in not receiving the word. And I got out. We got out and the flood hit the valley. And it come clear out of the banks, just filled the valley. Hundreds of thousands of people's lives in jeopardy. And it went on until one day I was riding down the road in a car. And I heard this report. Then I prayed. I said, Lord, for God's sake, put that water back in the banks. And the radio said, the waters of the Ohio Valley are receding. And they're going back into their banks. Somebody come the other day and it was telling us how that when we was down in the valley of Alabama, how that we spoke of the curse hitting the valley. Never before had they had this thing to happen like that. It had been many years that the river had even been disturbed, but it come up out of its banks. And there were stores that had, where the roadway was deep, and you had to go up quite a flight of stairs just to get up to the sidewalk. But it come right on up above there, and they had to get in rowboats, and it went right on into the stores. Many such things. We could write a book on the miraculous or on the usage of faith. I've seen my wife use her faith. I've seen it happen. I knew it was faith. I've seen her utilize her faith in God. And she said, I know it. I know it. And sure enough, it came to pass just exactly like she said. I remember sitting out in California. One day she got inspired and she started believing. We needed some money. And she said, we're going to get some money. I said, we've got to have some money. And she said, right now. She said, we've got something. Let's go down to the, where was it at? Down to the telegraph office or whatever it was. She said, God's going to give us some money. Let's go down there. And sure enough, we got down there and we went in, you know, we called for whatever. And this lady, she come to the counter and she had a little paper in her hand. She said, she kept looking at it. She said, praise the Lord, everybody.
And Brother Ernie had sent us some money, and he had on it, "Praise the Lord," you know. And she didn't know hardly how to read it. She read it, but there it was. And I've seen that happen numbers of times. I've seen my Dale use her faith. I've seen my children use their faith. I've seen them use it. So you boys and girls, you ought to remember that. They use their faith. I've seen it happen. That means that you do have faith. You do have faith. Let's sing that little chorus, Brother Taylor, "Faith in God." Have faith in God. Can you strengthen your faith? Have faith in God. Can you utilize your faith? Have faith in God for salvation. Have faith. Don't you have faith for salvation? Faith in God. Something come across my mind. I remember when Brother Floyd Owens had a hard time. He didn't hardly know how to serve the Lord or follow the Lord, him and Jacqueline. And he had a hard time, and it looked like every time he'd buy a card. One day he come to me and he said something about it. And I prayed to God. I said, "God, he ain't going to lose this car. Now, I don't want him to lose this car, and he ain't going to lose this car. You make a way where he can keep this car." And lo and behold, if the people at the Ford place or wherever it was at the office that had the title on it, lost the title on the car. And the car completely become his. They lost it, lock, stock, and barrel. And God helped him keep his car. And that was it. See, God did that. Isn't that true, Brother Floyd? See, God did that because we asked him to do that. I told Floyd, I said, "Pray and believe." So he did. See, that's all we got to do right now. You may have a problem right now. I may have a problem. A lot of us might have problems. But there's one thing about it. If you'll join with me and let me join with you, the Bible said if any two agree as touching anything, it'll be done. If you will agree with me and I'll agree with you, you don't doubt in your heart, and I don't doubt in my heart, then it will come to pass. It will come to pass. So while we sing this little chorus, "Have Faith in God," remember you've got faith, but you want to strengthen your faith. You want to be like Abraham. You want to be strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded, not of a doubtful mind, but being fully persuaded that what God promised, that he's able also to perform. All right, let's sing it together. Have faith in God. The altars are open. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Sing it again. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. We've been almost off of the mountains. We've went off into the creek. We've turned over and rolled over and rolled back up. We've turned over, been hit by cars and been pulled out on the sides. We went through many, many things. But always, by faith, I said, by faith, we're going to make it through this. I can remember times when those things struck. Immediately when it struck, I would immediately say, by faith, that we're going to go through this, and my children and my wife and I are not going to be hurt. By faith, God, you're going to do it. All of us come out. No hurt. See, financially, whatever it might be, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. There's some of you standing here that have had problems. You've had accidents. If it had not been for faith in your heart, you'd have been killed. There's some of you that have had sicknesses. Had it not been for faith, you'd have died.
I was down at the house last night. I went in my room. Dale and Susie had driven off somewhere, rode off. Little Holly was real sick, and Andy was sick. Both of them was real sick. And I got him out and set him on my knee, and Betty and I, we rocked him a little bit and talked with him, give him a little consolation. You know, children need a lot of love and consolation. They don't need to be screamed at and hollered at. You need to correct them, but their little hearts get tore up. You need to reassure the little hearts over and over of security and confidence to where they'll be healthy and they'll be well. But anyway, I walked into my room and I looked, and laying on the dresser, I saw a little clipping from a newspaper, and the newspaper said death. And it really disturbed me, because sometimes God will speak to me through different things. And I walked over and I looked at it and I turned it over. It said, of a star. Death of a star. And it struck me like that. I thought, them babies are sick, and his name is Dale Star. And this was a clipping that I had out of the paper where it showed a consummation of a star, the life of a star, and I'd left it laying there. So I got Betty. We got real concerned, and I really began to pray. And Betty worked with the babies. I prayed, and this morning, they were just well and healthy as they could. See, God undertook. The little fellas was really sick. Both of them vomiting. A bad situation. All right, let's sing this song together. Only Believe. Can you sing with me? Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Only believe. Sing like this now. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I receive. Believe that you receive it. Lord, I receive. And all things are possible. Don't that sound beautiful? Lord, I receive. I remember how I said to Brother Floyd and Sister Jacqueline, I said, your son Randy is going to be saved. Randy was going the other way as hard as he could go. But all of a sudden, something happened. And that snake bit Randy. Randy, he come over to the house. Now, you know, you would wonder, you'd say, well, why in the name of reason didn't that boy have enough sense to go to the doctor? Well, Randy has a good understanding. He probably would have done that, especially knowing that he wasn't living for the Lord. But he had had Joey, I believe it was, or one of them had had a vision. And in the vision, one had gotten bitten by a snake. And instead of going to the doctor, they came to me. And God healed them. And according to the vision, if they hadn't have done that, they could have died. So he comes straight to me. And we prayed. He was healed. God immediately done away with it. And God healed him. And Randy come to the Lord. Still trying to serve the Lord. As a matter of fact, he was here tonight somewhere. He might have had to leave. All right, let's sing that again. Only believe. When you think about believing, only believe. That is so beautiful. That's so sweet. That is so thrilling. When you think, only believe, and you think, now I'm standing here, I'm doing the believing.
Have you ever stopped to think that you can live your whole life, pass off the scene,
and then look back in sad regret
and think, oh my God, look what an opportunity I had as a human being just to believe. Just to believe. As a human being, I had this great opportunity just to believe and have all of these great, wonderful, miraculous things to fill my life. And I didn't do anything about it. I eat and drink, run after hamburgers and milkshakes, and after frolics, money, prestige, all my life, and throw this heavenly thing down the drain. Never did work with my faith. Never did give it an opportunity. Never did try. Never did search out the things of God. Isn't that a disaster? Now to me, you speaking of a calamity, that's a calamity. All right, let's sing that again. And you think on what I'm saying now. Oh Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I'm going to sing it like this, and I want you to really think now, if there's something that you want, something that you've asked God for, something that you'd like to have, I'd like for you to right now purpose it in your heart. The Bible said, decree a thing in your heart and it will come to pass. Believe and don't doubt. Decree it in your heart now. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Decree it in your heart right now. Decree it in your heart. There's many things that I know that you want. Decree it in your heart right now. And we're going to sing like this. Oh Lord, I receive. Are you receiving right now? Are you accepting it? Are you accepting it right now? Are you accepting it right now? Do you say, oh my God, it's mine. He gave it to me. Hallelujah. Can you praise God and believe that? Glory to God. Jesus said, if thou canst believe in thine heart, don't doubt. He's already took care of it at Calvary. Canst thou believe? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Can you believe? What do you want? Anything that you desire, whatsoever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Have you got any ought against anybody? Get it out of your heart right now. So that you can just believe in God. Lord, I receive. Are you receiving? Oh Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Oh Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I... One more time now like this. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. I want you to bow your heads with me now. In humble submission and confidence in God, believe. Don't doubt now. Don't doubt. Jesus said, believe. Believe, and all things are possible to them that believe. And let's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's give glory every day of our life, making melody in our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. From the early morning, You know the thing that pleased God about Jesus? Said, in whom my soul is well pleased. For he will call upon my name from the going forth of the sun unto the setting thereof, or until it goes down. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Brother Pike would start in the morning and you would start in the morning and we would call on the name of Jesus from the going forth of the sun and we'd never stop all day long, meditating in his laws day and night, giving glory unto the Lord Jesus. While our brother comes and prays with you, remember us as we go on our journey. Remember the Lundabows and the end that you've given to help. You've got a part in it. And let's remember one another to pray for one another. Remember the people around the world tonight that need your prayers.